We are 18 years into the 21st century. And still, there are a lot of things wrong with this world. There are a lot of things, a lot of problems that have been solved, a lot of difficulties that we don't have to encounter. There's a lot of medicine nowadays that's available for treatments that generation ago we absolutely didn't have access to. There are a lot of diseases that we no longer are afflicted with today because of the advancements in medical treatment. At the same time, and in all fairness though, sometimes it seems like the ones that we have been able to push into the background have simply enabled us to uncover others that we didn't know anything about before. Without trying to sound too negative and without trying to put a cloud over this line of thinking, the bottom line is life on this earth will never be perfect. And if you're living your life expecting everything one day to be great, no problems, nothing wrong, no storms, no trials, no difficulties here on this earth, I'm sorry, but you can forget it because it's not going to happen. God did not design life on this earth to ever be perfect. There is perfection waiting for those who in loving obedience embrace the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's not on this earth. It's in heaven. This morning we talked about a couple of passages that, for example, in James chapter 1 where he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into divers or many different trials." And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read from his words concerning the matter of our faith that is tested and proven by what we go through. Tonight, I want us to think a little bit more about the matter of trials and difficulties and more specifically, storms in a figurative sense. I would say that even in a group of people this small, there is scarcely a family represented that either directly or indirectly is not pretty closely familiar with and maybe even involved in some really distasteful situations. Now, I don't mean distasteful in the sense that, you know, some of us have gone off and gotten into trouble, nobody knows about it, and one day they're going to find out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the difficulties and the hardships that come along and afflict families and people just by virtue of the fact that we're human. As I thought back, I quickly tried to calculate how many people, either members of this congregation or close family members of this congregation, have died this year. I was not really satisfied that I had recalled everyone to mind. That's not because I shouldn't be able to remember all of them, and I certainly wouldn't want to leave anybody out on purpose, but the fact is, already here in the seventh month of the year, there have been many of our families who have been stricken by death and loss, and even one just within the last 3 days. The funeral service for Sister Catherine Rhodes still waits to be held. That's just an illustration of the fact that life is very real. Problems and difficulties are very real. And while God promises to help us deal with those things in the very best way possible in keeping with His will, God never promises us that living here on this earth will ever be free of trouble. Tonight, I'd like for us to turn to Matthew chapter 14 and read very quickly a story that's told there concerning Jesus and a little event that took place during his ministry with he and his disciples. In Matthew chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 22, and we'll read through verse 33. And what we're about to read about takes place immediately after one of the things that we talked about this morning in John chapter 6, where the Bible says that Jesus asked Philip. You remember, when Jesus saw the multitudes that were coming, the Bible says that Jesus turned to Philip and he said, "Where are we going to go to buy the food to feed this great multitude?" This he said to him, not because he needed to know, but because, the Scripture says, he was testing him, for he knew what he would do already. And of course, the little boy was there, the young boy was there with the five loaves and two fish, and out of that, Jesus produced enough food to feed a multitude, and the Bible says in all three of the accounts, here in Matthew 14, in Mark chapter 6, and in John chapter 6, that there were 12 baskets full of leftovers that were gathered up. And what we're about to read takes place next, beginning at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.' Peter answered him, and he said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" There are four things that I want to call your attention to in this passage. Four things regarding the storms of life and how Jesus helps us through the storm. Number one, let me suggest to you that sometimes Jesus leads us into the storm. Now that doesn't sound exactly right, does it? Preacher, are you saying that sometimes God sends us off into trouble? Are you saying sometimes that the Lord knows what's about to happen and He lets us go anyway? Are you saying that the Lord just ships us off right out into trouble and problems? Well, not exactly, but you'll notice in verse 22 it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." Now incidentally, the word "ship" there occurs in the King James translation, but all three of the parallel accounts rendered in the New American Standard Version say a boat. And so it probably was a fishing boat, a small boat, a very small, lightweight craft. But at any rate, it says in verse 22 that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat. The word constrained is a word that we don't use much anymore. Some translations render this compelled. Some of them render it made. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat. He compelled them to get into the boat. He made them get into the boat. You ever thought about that? Maybe someone said, well, Lord, look at those clouds there. We've got no business getting in this boat. Why, we get out on this sea here and there's no telling what's going to happen to us. This is probably not a good idea. You know, maybe we ought to check the weather one more time. I'm not sure if anything like that happened, but I am sure that the text gives us an indication that Jesus pretty much forced them to get into that boat. Now, nothing happens without the notice of Jesus. There is nothing that comes upon us that He does not already know. Did Jesus know that there was going to be a storm as they were crossing the sea? I believe He did. I believe everything we know about the Lord indicates that the Lord already knew the storm was going to hit. And so Jesus sent His disciples off into the path of this storm. Well, why in the world would the Lord do something like that? You know, there are many things that the Lord did during His ministry that we might, if we were to see some normal person today do those things, we'd say, you shouldn't do that. That's not a good idea. But many times those occasions are clear to us when Jesus saw what was going to take place, and Jesus knew that it would provide Him with an opportunity to teach an unforgettable lesson. Lord, Lazarus in Bethany is sick, and they need us right now. We'll go, but let's wait. You remember Jesus waited until Lazarus had died, and then Jesus said, it's time for us to go now. Jesus knew Lazarus had died. The apostles didn't know, but Jesus knew. That's just one of several illustrations you can find of the fact that the Lord often used circumstances to teach an unforgettable lesson. Now, I dare say that most of us who have been associated with the church for just a few years at the very least has heard all about when Peter tried to walk on the water. That's what happened in this story. What if Jesus had said, you guys better not go across the lake tonight. It's going to come up a storm. You say, well, you don't need to be using a whole lot of what ifs. And I agree with that. But the point remains, the text says Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go across the sea. And so we come to the greater question now, why does God sometimes allow us to go into the path of a storm? Because, as we said this morning, for one thing, the testing of your faith produces endurance or steadfastness. God knows that the difficulties that come our way can make us stronger if we are willing to allow them to do so. There are many occasions when God allows us to go through situations, I'm convinced, just simply for the purpose of chastening us and calling our attention to the fact that we need to make some changes in our lives. I believe many times God allows the storms to come into our lives because He realizes better than we do the need for us to draw closer to Him. And the storm will often provide a means to get us to see that. I believe there are occasions when God allows things to come into our lives that are not pleasant at all because God knows it will strengthen our character. I can give you a list of things that have happened in my life that I believe made me a better person after I came out the other side of a very unpleasant, difficult situation. And simply the matter of going through that occasion and going through that difficulty caused me to be better on the other side. I have an idea that you too could call to mind many occasions in your life where God has allowed the storm to make you better. And so I believe it's a fact that sometimes the Lord sends us right into the storm because He knows it's good for us. Number two, consider the fact that even when Jesus sends us into a storm, He will comfort us in the storm. You'll notice what it says down there in verse 27. When Jesus was walking on the water and they saw Jesus and they cried out for fear, but straightway He spake unto them saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Jesus, even if He sends us into a storm, is very concerned about us in that storm and will comfort us in the process. Elisha A. Hoffman wrote that last song we just sang, "I Must Tell Jesus." Mr. Hoffman was born in 1839, and he lived and worked and preached and wrote. He wrote over 2,000 songs, pretty much in the state of Pennsylvania and some time in Ohio. And on one occasion, he was preaching for a small church in Pennsylvania, and he called upon a young woman, a young mother who was a member of that particular church. And she had had seemingly a flurry of disasters happen in her life. And she was most distraught. And as Mr. Hoffman sat there and visited with her a little bit, she literally poured out her heart to him, telling him of all of the things, all of the tragedies and all of the things that had gone wrong. And she ended that spiel by saying, "Brother Hoffman, what shall I do? What shall I do?" And Hoffman said, he quoted a few passages of Scripture that he thought were appropriate. And then he said, "You must tell Jesus." And he said, for about the space of a minute or two, the woman didn't say anything. But she sat there and contemplated his words, and he said, then all of a sudden, her countenance lifted, and she said, "That's what I'll do. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus." Mr. Hoffman said that he went back to his study, took up pen and paper, and immediately began to write as the words came to him, the song that we just sang. "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. he ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He's a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. Mr. Hoffman also wrote, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. We sang that one first. And then we sang, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting. Mr. Hoffman wrote that one also. Mr. Hoffman also wrote the very familiar song to us that we're going to sing in just a few minutes for the invitation song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? As I said, he wrote over 2,000 songs. Several of them are very familiar to us. But the fact is, Jesus will comfort us in the storm. In the third place, I want us all to understand that in the storm, Jesus will also teach us. Because there are always lessons to be learned in the storm if we're open to learn. You'll notice when Jesus reached out and rescued Peter as he was sinking, there, verse 31, he stretched forth his hand and caught him, and he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, you know, with our understanding of the brevity of the biblical account, and especially regarding the ministry of Jesus and the daily events and all that took place, there's just a tiny bit that was recorded. You remember John says at the end of his account of what we call the Gospel of John that the world couldn't contain all of the books if everything that Jesus did and said was written down. You know, I have no doubt that once Jesus and Peter got back into the boat, they heard a good lesson on faith, don't you suppose? They probably heard a good lesson on the danger of doubt, the importance of trusting Jesus and taking Him at His word. Even in the storms of life, Jesus will teach us. And then, number four, Jesus will bring us out of the storm. Well, not always out of the storm. Sometimes Jesus escorts us through the storm. On this occasion, he brought Peter out of the storm and the disciples, because it says in verse 32, when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. But we also know the reality is that just because Jesus is there with us today, it's what he promised, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, he doesn't always bring the troubles to an end, but he will always see us through them if we hold on to him. And so, those are the four things there. Number one, Jesus will sometimes take you into the storm. Number two, Jesus will comfort you in the storm. Number three, Jesus will teach you in the storm. And number four, Jesus will take you through the storm. What a wonderful thought. That even though we are afflicted with manifold trials and difficulties and problems, as unspeakable as some of them may be, Jesus is always with us. Pity the person who does not realize and recognize the willingness of the Lord to see us through the storm. A lot of people sit around and say things like, "Boy, I wish we didn't have this storm. I wish I didn't have to go through this. Surely there's some other way we could accomplish this without this storm. But the fact is, the storms are real. They're always going to come. But Jesus will always help us. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? If you haven't done that, there's an opportunity before you right now to do that. If you have done that, but if perhaps you've become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored? We're going to sing this song right now to encourage you. If you need to respond to the Master's invitation, I invite you to do so as we stand together and sing.